All right. Well, today, we're going to be talking about what does the Bible say about joy? So previous topics have been a little on the heavy side, but definitely necessary because we know we're in battle. We're here duking it out with the devil and all his works. So we cover fear and discouragement. And so today we're going to learn about what does the Bible say about joy? Joy is amazing. It's not just my daughter, Joy. She is amazing too. But joy is something that really just supercharges you. And so I got a lot to cover. I got 18 slides, and I've done a few already, so I want to make sure to have get done when the pizzas arrive. But so let's get into joy. So joy is just is amazing. Oops, went too hard. First thing is, joy is good medicine. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Okay, so just to let you know that that the Bible is so relevant that you can press it, you can really examine it, you can go after God's word and just really just crank as hard as you want, and it comes in true. So, science has determined that laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells, infection-fighting antibodies, and this resistance to disease. Guess where your antibodies and these white blood cells are made? What part of the body are all these made? Bone marrow, yes. So the white blood cells and the antibodies are made in the blood, but where does the blood come from? Well, the heart, yeah, it gets pumped there, but where is it made? Because you need to make blood. It's made in the bone marrow. And so what does Proverbs 17:22 say? A crushed spirit dries up the bones. Hello? Like, God knew this. Like I said, you can take the word of God and just, like, press it as hard as you want. And it comes in true all the time. So joy is good medicine. Laughter, it releases endorphins. It's your body's natural good-feeling chemical. It's where immune cells are made. Bone marrow does this. It makes stem cells, the building blocks of your body. So it's amazing. So it's really, it's just good medicine, first of all. It just brings joy, obviously, and help. So what's cool is you can exchange joy. You can exchange a lot of bad stuff for joy. In Isaiah 61:3, in Psalm 30, verse 11, it says, "You turn my mourning into dancing." Maybe it'll do it. Okay, come on. Oh, there it goes. Oops, a little far. "You've turned my mourning into dancing." So literally with God, whose teller, I call it a bank teller, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no holidays, no weekends, it's always open. You can go in and you can take mourning if you're sad about something, somebody's passed, and God will take your mourning and exchange it with dancing. Isn't that pretty cool? I think that's a great one. But wait, as they say, there's more. In Isaiah 61:3, it says, "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes." So number one, you can take your ashes. You go, okay, Lord, here's my ashes, but my life. And guess what? I exchange beauty for ashes. I can go to that teller and go, here, I'll give you my ashes, and guess what I get? I get beauty in return. Amazing. God gets more. You can exchange the oil of joy for mourning, meaning that I can take your mourning, and you can not only get dancing out of it, but you get the oil of joy, meaning that it just lubricates everything. It makes it good. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So you can take your spirit of heaviness, like, you know, if you just watch the news, you can get a spirit of heaviness. And you can exchange that spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. You can just, like, sit there in front of the Lord and just worship him all day long and make those exchanges. That's a pretty good teller. But wait, there's more. "That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So why does God do all this? I mean, because he loves us, first of all. But also, he gets glorified in that. He can take our, for lack of a better word, our junk, and just give it to him, and then he gives us back all these things. And that's from joy. So it's good medicine. It boosts your immune system. You can exchange stuff. It's great. Do you know that kids laugh on average of 400 times per day? It's amazing. Guess how many times adults laugh? 15, yes. Okay, you guys can read. Darn. Forgot that was on there. 15. Matthew 18, 2 through 4 says, "Then Jesus called a little child to them, set him in their midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" So if kids are laughing 400 times a day, and God says, hey, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you need to be like a little child, I espouse to be more childlike, which probably isn't too much of a huge leap, if you ask Mary Grace, as the ninth child, or yeah, the eighth child in the house. I espouse to be more childlike, meaning that, hey, when we laugh, we release that endorphin, that natural healing that's going on there. And we get you know, more immune system. We get more red blood cells, more white blood cells. We don't crush our bones. And then also, it's just cool. It's just fun. And kids, like, who doesn't want to be a kid? So that would be something like on a New Year's resolution, or it's like, I espouse to laugh 400 times a day, and I'm going to just click my little clicker, click. Clicking a lot. But it's cool. Being childlike, it's a command. Jesus said, hey, if you want this, do it. So let's be like kids. Okay. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So a good thing about joy is it's also a command. The Lord wants us to be joyful. He doesn't want us to be down the dumps. He wants us to reflect his praise, his worship. In Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I'm just going to rapid fire all the, there's so many verses that where God tells us to do this. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 2, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before him in his presence with singing. Singing. So, all you great voices out there, sing. I know. When I was in grade school, I had a problem singing. So I went to a Catholic school, and we went to church 3-4 times a week. And this is when Catholic schools had a lot of nuns, and there were these nuns there, and I wouldn't sing during church, during the school, like when I was in school. And so the nuns would go, okay, Sister Mary Ann, Sister Mary Ellen, let me say, okay, Bobby, that's what my name was back then, Bobby, I noticed you weren't singing in church today. Like, yes, Sister Mary Ann, yes. Why weren't you singing? I don't want to sing. Okay, well, you're going to sing. And I said, no, I'm not. And she said, oh, yes, you are. So if you don't sing in church, then you can write out all the hymns that we sing during recess. So I didn't sing, and so I was writing during recess. And finally I got sick of it, and like it was, you know, my poor penmanship, and so I eventually sang. And I actually like singing now, but I, you know, look at where I came from writing out hymns in, what is it, third, fourth, fifth grade, whatever it was, and Sister Mary Ann telling me, yes, you are going to sing. So, but it's a command, and that's kind of like the Lord says, come before me with singing. Exchange your ashes for beauty. I got this. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. And there's a lot. There's probably 15 verses in Psalms alone about this. So what happens if you just can't do it? Like, you're just in a funk. It's just hard. You know, because we're in combat, we're against the principalities and the devil and all his works, but sometimes you're in a funk. One way to get back your happy dance is to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. So if you just can't get your joy on, start giving thanks. Just say, Lord, thank you for the house I live in. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my business. Thank you for the clothes I have. I mean, you could just go on and just, and you know what? You start doing that, that joy will come. You just prime that pump and just go, okay, come on. I know it's tough, but let's prime that pump. Let's go and just give thanks. That's a surefire way that will work. James 1 through 10. I should have. Yes, forgot to advance the slide. James 1 through 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So that's another joy killer is trials. But remember, when you're going through the trial, remember, count it all joy, because this is God. He's not sending bad stuff for us, but he allows them to happen. And count it joy when you meet various trials, meaning that like he's refining you, he's getting rid of this junk, and it's a good thing. Okay, so we went over that joy is, it's good for your health, it's a command, but also joy is a fruit. Ever thought about that? Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the joy is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So there's like a song, I think back when my kids were little, we had this song, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. Have you heard that one? The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If it was a coconut, you might as well hear it. The fruit. Anyway, I can't. I know. I never spend the one about cherry. The fruit of the Spirit's not a cherry. Sorry, it's just going back in time when the kids were little. But that's how I remember the fruit of the Spirit. I just think about this stupid, you know, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it's a fruit. So what about a fruit? Fruits are not achieved by working. You can't work and generate fruits. Fruit is birthed by abiding. So it's that tree being, you know, in the sun with water and then those nutrients in the soil. It could be man-made, it could be natural, whatever it is. Those nutrients come in there, it's by abiding. So fruit is generated by abiding. Can't be worked. Can't go out, I'm going to go and work and generate me a peach. Like, nope, not going to happen. Fruit is fragile. So it's not like it's not like some kind of piece of leather or something. It's fragile. Fruit reproduces itself. You know about that? There's a seed in there, like that fruit. Like you get enough fruit, and then it'll eventually produce more trees, which produce more fruit, or plants, or spinach, or whatever it is. Fruit is attractive. You ever seen that fruit? Like you look at a tree, and then you look at a tree with like oranges on it. To me, it looks way better. Some people go, no, because it's more things to pick. But I like it. I think it looks pretty. So maybe it's pretty for somebody else to do the work and pick. But, you know, it's attractive. And then fruit is nourishing. And so it does bring nourishment to us. So fruit is great. And so that's one of the things of joy. Okay, let's keep going. Let's do this quote. I love this quote. Love this preacher. Believers are not dependent upon circumstances, because circumstances get good, they go bad. Sometimes there's want, sometimes there's plenty. Their joy comes not from what they have, but from what they are. Not from where they are, but from whose they are. Not from what they enjoy, but from that which was suffered for them by the Lord. So it's about who you are. It's not about your circumstances. And what the Lord has done for us. Isn't that amazing? So we can be joyful in anything because, hello, we're children of God. Like when we die and they roll up this body, which is called a tent, we're absent from the body and present from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, this is, that right there alone is enough to be joyful. No matter what circumstances we have, no matter, you know, what we're facing that time, whoever is in government, we all have eternity with the Lord. And that's who we are. We are children of God. So that's where our joy comes from. Okay. But there, wait, there's more. There's a lot more to joy than just this. So joy, you can sow the seeds of your future with joy. You can sow the clouds of your future with joy. So we have a great opportunity to proactively seed the clouds or weather over the events of our future with joy. You're thinking, man, how do you do that? Really? Can you really affect your future with joy? Yes, you can. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit reap eternal life. Proverbs 11, 18. I'm just kidding. There's like 30 verses or more in the Bible on sowing and reaping, but we'll just do a few. The wicked earn deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. See, you can sow joy and reap it in the future. 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 7, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows abundantly will also reap abundantly. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Luke 6, 37 through 38. Judge not, for you not will be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put back into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So you can sow joy in the future and get joy, or joy now. You can sow joy in the present and reap it in the future. God says, if I had a cup, it'd be like, whatever cup you're using, it will be given to you, but it'll be pressed down, overflowing. So you can sow into the future. You can sow the clouds of your future with your beliefs, your words, your prayers, and your actions. Our thoughts primarily will be spiritual rain or drought. Warring in the mind is not enough. We need to speak the truth into our future. It is not enough to uproot old strongholds and to establish new positive strongholds of faith, hope, and joy, and love. So we got to think it, but also we got to say it. And you're like, man, how do you do that? Well, I actually have an example that we're going to do together. So we're going to sow joy into our future. So this is, I don't have a lot of audience participation, but this time I do. And so let's go ahead and repeat after me, and we're going to sow into our future. Thank you, God, that I am blessed in my employment. Thank you that my honesty, creativity, dependability, enthusiasm, and personal blessing create great success for this business and every business that I will be a part of. I will never lack a good job because of how big my God is in me. And there you go. You just sowed joy into your future. Isn't that easy? So you got to think it, but you got to say it too. You got to declare it, because that, you know how God created things? How did he spoke it. He spoke it into existence. And I'm not saying we are God, but he did give us the image, and he did give us the power of Jesus. He washed us in the blood of Jesus. And so we can speak, and we can partner with God and speak life into things, and that he will bless that. And you can speak life into yourself. And so that's how you sow joy into your future. So like I'm doing some gardening at the house, and you're always like planning and figuring out what's going to happen in the future. Well, I guarantee you, if you don't sow it, if you don't plant it, it ain't going to come up in, you know, 3-4 months. So you got to sow it. Okay. So that's another great benefit of joy. So let's keep going. Joy of the Lord is our strength. I like this one. So this is a gardening one. So that was like, we had this bed and he wanted to get buried in it. So I buried him in it up to his neck, and then he popped out. And so now he's like Superman here. He's, rah! So the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you can sow and you can reap. And you know, sowing and reaping with kids too, believe it or not. And so you get this. Pretty cool. Okay, let's keep going. All right, so you can find joy in reading God's word. So you can rejoice as one that found a great treasure. Reading God's word brings joy. So in our house, something that Mary Grace and I do is we read the Bible every day. So Mary Grace will read Bible to them in the morning. A lot of times it would be Proverbs. So if it was, you know, if it's the third day of the month, you got to read Proverbs 3. And in the evening, we'll read through the Bible. And so it's always like, Dad, do we have to read three chapters today? It's so hard. Can we just do one? I go, but it's an honor. It's a privilege to read the Bible. It's joy. And this is it. You get joy. So, like, why wouldn't you not want to do it? But, Dad, we just want to watch TV. Do our thing. But it's a joy. It's a treasure. Let's see. I'll make sure I get okay. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18 says, happy is a man who finds wisdom. Wisdom is a person. It's Jesus. And the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. In her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. So wisdom is a person. Also, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. So no one comes to the Father except through me. So like you search out wisdom, but you also, but when you do that, you get Jesus. Okay, Nehemiah. So I love this one. I'm a big fan of Nehemiah. He's one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. Nehemiah 8, 9 through 12. This is when they find the book of the law. They break it open, and Ezra's there. I'll just skip to verse 12. And all the people went away to eat, drink, and send portions and to celebrate a great festival because they understood the words that had been spoken to them. So this is when they had read the Bible. They went into captivity for a long time. They came back from Babylon after 70 years. And this is where Ezra finds the scrolls and he opens them up and then they read the word. And there was just this great rejoicing because they hadn't heard it in a long time. So the word of the Lord is joy. So you can, if you're having a hard time finding joy, read the Bible. It'll be there. Okay. So who knows that everybody here know that you're in a race? Yeah. So you're in a battle, but you're also in a race. So another commandment is finish the race with joy. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we've been have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. So all these saints in heaven right now are like, go, keep going, you can do it. Go, 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 run that race. Right there, he's running. Lay aside every encumbrance, the things that, you know, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set... That's a big word, joy, set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, we don't know the full extent to what Jesus went through on the cross. But one of the things that he did this for is that's joy that was set before him, knowing that without Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins, we would never be reconciled with the Father. And so that joy of seeing us reconciled with him, with the Lord and being in heaven propelled him on for the cross. And so that race, when it's hard, like, who here's run, like, you know, 5 kilometers or 5 miles or anything like that? It's like right around after a few minutes, man, it's like, man, this is hard. But you do it because you know that there's joy at the end. Sometimes it's just joy of finishing. But this one, in this case, this joy is real. This is much better than any race we run. So you get joy from running the race. Okay, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but there are some enemies of joy we want to make sure and cover, not to like dwell on it, but just to be aware of what they are and make sure that when these pop up, we go, oh, nope, not today, Satan. So let's go over these real quick. Enemies of joy, I call this if only or not never enough. The enemy loves us when you're not doing enough. You're not, you could have done that better. If you would have just done this with your kids, they would have been so much better. That never enough, if only I would have just said this thing, you know, no. You are good the way you are. Galatians 5, 4 through 6 says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So what does this mean? You are covered with grace. If only, just toss it. You're good. Next one, shame and unworthiness. Shame is mentioned 147 times in the Bible. I looked at the concordance and it was like, man, 147 times that word is mentioned. Did my search on Bible Gateway. I'm like, wow. It is a strong enemy of joy. What is shame? A painful feeling, a humiliation, distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Right at the garden, boom, Genesis 2:5, Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. So, like, they before sin, there was shame. Psalm 71:1 says, in you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. There's like a lot of verses on this. So we got to get rid of any kind of shame and unworthiness that's in our lives, because we do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus, perfecter of our faith. So get rid of shame. It has no part in your life. You've been saved by Jesus. Critical spirit. So if you, you know, so who does this at work or in school or whatever is like, yeah, that person's no good. They could have done this a lot better. Being critical. It actually is kind of a more of a significant how you feel about yourself when you have a critical spirit. So love your neighbor as yourself. How we feel about ourselves affects how we treat others. A big driver of a critical spirit is in your own insecurities. So get rid of a critical spirit. You need to keep that joy. He who has the most joy has the most influence. Excessive introspection. So I was like, well, but the reason I include this, Bill Johnson had this, and I don't know if you've heard his sermon on this. We had a class on it where he was very introspective. And he's like, you know, I'm not as good. I don't have all the healings like as Smith Wigglesworth or some of these other great healers. And he was just like, I'm not good enough. No, like excessive introspection is not good. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then live by the Spirit and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. For this flesh has desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Those are opposite each other so that you may not do what you want. So excessive introspection, you look to God, not into yourself. Being easily offended, way to beat this. So if you just get offended when somebody says something, you know, not quite right, we do this all the time. Do a great work for the Lord and you will get rid of being easily offended. Nehemiah 6:1-3, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arabs. So these are all people trying to distract Nehemiah. They're trying to get him to come and they want he's building the wall. Him and all the exiles are building the wall of Jerusalem because they're tired of being robbed and taken advantage of by the peoples around. And they've been trying to build this wall for a long, long time, 30, 40 years. And so they say, come, let's meet together among the villages in the plain of Odin. But then Nehemiah says, but I knew they wanted to do harm to me. And so he says, I don't have time for this, that you just want to harm me. And so he didn't meet them. He didn't entertain them. And so one way to get rid of being offended is do a great work for the Lord. In fact, it says in verse 3, it says, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease until while I leave and go down to you? So critical spirit, pick a ministry and do something great for the Lord, whether it be, you know, healing rooms, doing street ministry, ministering to the homeless, whatever it is in your home with kids. Do a great work, and you will not be easily offended. Okay, so those are all enemies of joy. Like, don't do those. Those are bad. Okay. So let's do a summary. It's good medicine. Joy is good medicine. It's command of the King of Kings. We can enter the joy of the Lord. We seed our future, the clouds of our future, the weather with joy. Reading God's word brings joy. And the enemies of joy are critical spirit, shame, never enough, or it, easily offended, and excessive introspection, if only. So, that's it. If you guys have any requests, any things you need healing in your body, if there's any help at work or in school, if there's just, you just want prayer for whatever the case may be, just whatever, just come on up. Myself, one of the elders will pray for you. We have pizza out there. Have a great week. And next week we will celebrate Mother's Day. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We love you. Lord, we just pray that we get our joy on. I aspire to laugh 400 times a day. Lord, I just want to be with you, Lord. I want to exchange all this junk of this life for your joy, for your peace, Lord. And thank you that you've opened this teller that we can go to anytime, any day of the week. Holidays, weekends, doesn't matter. And we can exchange all the stuff we have for joy. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Help us to put our joy on. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right.